We have a power plant in Tanzania, in East Africa. That was the main reason that I decided to move to Dubai together with a family.
Now, you being an expert in being able to connect one person to another, you're the connector. But what do you see as the most thing that people struggle with networking?
So I think the most critical thing is to always try and keep your mind as a sponge. I think it's something which we're always grown. You need to believe in what you're selling. You've got to believe that it adds value to people's lives. If you have that belief, that will resonate with whoever the prospect may be.
I think the number one thing that anyone can improve in themselves is being able to speak and then being able to sell.
Yeah, I think it all relates to mindset, because you've got to have resilience. You've got to have an open mind.
All right, we're here with another special episode with a dear friend of mine, Dave Chagger. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be on.
So, for the audience that are listening to you right now, who is Dave Chagger?
So, an interesting question for sure. I guess there are two different sides to me. One is the Monday to Friday, very much kind of wearing the bright suits, being, you know, the personality in terms of focus on connecting the business community. And beyond that, like every other expat who lives here, enjoying all the luxury and benefits that we have here in Dubai.
Now, you told me off the screen that you had a family business in West Africa. What is that all about?
So we had we have a power plant in Tanzania, in East Africa. And that was the main reason that I decided to move to Dubai together with a family. And, you know, when you're based in the UK, traveling through to Dubai, and then you understand that there's so much business opportunity here, eventually we came to the conclusion that it's better that we're based in Dubai and then to actually set up operations here.
Interesting. Just makes life so much easier. Do you still go to West Africa in a way? Or do you just...
Now I'm kept so busy with the day-to-day activities in DIFC. So not so much travel these days. Yeah.
So one thing that I know about you is that you have this name as the Capital Connector.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So I think in the early days when I first joined the club, it was initially just developing rapport with a lot of the members. And then over time is then to start setting up and arranging meetings on specific purposes, specific agendas, which they wanted to keep as discreet as possible. And that kind of developed more and more over time to the point where one of the magazines within the region decided to kind of put the title Capital Connector in terms of connecting, whether it be for deal flow or complex transactions. And then it's effectively kind of stuck since then.
So this club that is rarely ever known unless you're a high elite or you're a high net worth investor or entrepreneur, Capital Club, What is it?
So we were established over 16 years ago in DIFC, which is effectively the heartbeat when it comes to the financial center here. And it was effectively the first private members club within the region. And we were very fortunate to have such a broad range of members from the very inception. And it's kind of developed more and more over time. It's really a combination of like privacy, discretion, exclusivity, being able to have meetings in a comfortable setting, and then alongside with networking and the social elements as well.
Do you select the people or the people can choose to enter Capital Club?
Well, it really comes down to being introduced by an existing member or to be recommended by an existing member. So there is some degree of process involved, but it's always good when you have people who are non-members or guests of a member who come to the building, understand, see the values, see the types of profiles of people they meet, and then they show a lot of interest in terms of then joining the club.
Interesting. Because when I think about the Capital Club, I'm seeing there are other numerous clubs that exist out there, like the Arts Club, yes. Nira, and numerous others that exist out there. But what makes Capital Club stand out from all of them?
So, I mean, we always had a specific ethos and purpose being a private business members club. But what we tended to find is whilst new clubs have emerged within Dubai, that allowed for us to really fine tune and focus on our identity, our purpose, being a business members club. And people very quickly come to differentiate as to what are the USPs of each and every club, what makes Capital Club so special and unique. And then it's just really focusing on that identity and then, you know, going much further to try and broaden, you know, how people see that it's of benefit for them.
Now, you being an expert in being able to connect one person to another, you're the connector. But what do you see as the most thing that people struggle with networking?
There's many different aspects. You know, often you find that people are initially uncomfortable when they're meeting somebody new for the first time. They're unsure as to how much they should open up or how much they should, you know, get into details of possibility. So, you know, often people are very nervous when it comes to actually forming relationships and then trying to take it to the next step. Alternatively, you've got the other side where people are too eager, too pushy. So it's really that fine-tuned balance as to how you actually network in a way that everybody's comfortable and that you reach some kind of conclusion as to whether you can work together or not.
So how do you do that? How do you network with the person without looking like you're trying too hard?
I think it's really a gut feeling. You know, you've got to read the body language. You've got to understand more about their background. If you show interest or understanding in terms of their expertise or their skill set, that always helps in terms of developing rapport. I think it really comes down to, you know, business and people go side by side. So once people understand that you are capable and credible within your sector, if you have mutual people in common, that also helps. The amount of time you spend in Dubai, all these types of factors really help to actually then kind of network meaningfully.
Do you think if I continuously show up in this specific club, eventually I'll be able to build my network?
Oh, 100%. You know, the club has many, many different people of all different backgrounds. And this is why for me, even every day, whilst I have certain plan and routines in terms of structured meetings and things that I've organized throughout the day, you know, you never know who's just flown into the country and what are the updates and then how to kind of re-navigate. So, you know, I think it's a case of the club, we have all the potential in terms of high-powered C-suite and above. A lot of the owners are major conglomerates, a lot of ambassadors. So with that mix, effectively, you know, if you have the right mindset, you know, so much can be achieved there.
So you're telling me, if I'm, for example, not a CEO level, I'm not that level, would I be still able to enter such a place?
Well, we do have different categories. So top C-suite and above is, you know, a very important factor, but also we do encourage entrepreneurs, founders of new startups, because again, Dubai is changing, the world is changing. So it's very important that we adapt accordingly. Again, we like to have people with the right type of mindset, ambitious, able to kind of also be some form of thought leadership as well. You know, it's really that fine mix. So we have members from all different types of backgrounds, but everyone shares one thing in common. Generally, they all love Dubai. They love the pace of life here. They love the business environment. And they're always looking as to how to grow and how to add value.
A lot of people look into networking as a transactional meme. How do you build real relationships in today's world?
So if you're looking at just transaction as priority number one, I feel that's very short-sighted. You know, a lot of my very dear friends who are maybe known for 7, 8, 9 years, we've never transacted. We've never actually drilled down as to a specific opportunity. It was always about the friendship, the rapport, building a relationship. And then because you've actually been passive to some degree in terms of focusing on the longer term objectives, as to whether you have an understanding, whether you have things in common. Then at the right time, when you actually put something forward as to scope where you can work together, it's a very different set of parameters then.
So for example, if I go into a room for the first time and that room is full of strangers, How do I turn this into an opportunity for me?
You really have to be open-minded. One thing that I really realized after moving from the UK is very, very different in many respects. You know, it's very conservative in terms of people's nature. But I think when people move to Dubai, they understand that, okay, We're here as expats. We're able to enjoy the fruits of this beautiful city. Everybody becomes automatically more open-minded. They like to mix with a local national Emirati community as well. So that immediately changes your mindset. So even if you're in a room full of strangers, I think if you've got that focus that, okay, it's all about putting yourself out there. It's about going through those uncomfortable initial starts of conversations, but everybody's in the same boat effectively. Whilst you don't know somebody else, they don't know you. So it has to be that effort to kind of actually see how you can develop, you know, better communication. And that's super important when it comes to networking.
And in your point of view, when you were in that room, for example, what do you see in terms of the smart people, that one networking mistake they usually do?
I think you always need to be careful in terms of trust. You know, it's whilst Dubai is such a fast-paced city, it's always important, as much as you network and you think that there could be synergy, is also to understand more as to the background and what types of transactions they've done in the past, to then cross-reference with good friends or people who have been in the city for a long time, just to ensure that you're dealing with credible people and that, you know, it will be a meaningful exercise.
But I'm sure your club actually, based on the selection process, does the due diligence in bringing specific members into the club only.
Yeah, I mean, we really kind of embrace having members of all different backgrounds, especially now we're seeing so many people move to Dubai from Europe, US, from the Far East, etc. One of the first things they want to do is have a sense of identity, to join a club, to be amongst, you know, people that are very capable within their own industry and sector. So yes, we're very grateful that we've got, you know, many capable people within the club. And this can really be, you know, eye-opening to make sure that you make the correct decisions.
How is your service as a capital connector different from other services that exist out there?
It's quite a difficult skill. You know, I think you go through those days where by the early evening, you know, the exhaustion levels are so high because you really have to be monitoring both sets of people that you're introducing to one another to ensure that the conversation stays on track, and then to constantly monitor from the first meeting to then the follow-up stages throughout. So it can be challenging at times. You can never also guarantee that there will be meaningful business as a result. But I think it's always a case of fine-tuning, learning more over time. And the beautiful thing is I'm exposed to so many different industries and sectors within the club that is constant learning.
So how do you continue to maintain that learning into a new field that you never knew about before? How do you assure that they trust you enough,
no,
since you have maybe no background about their own industry?
So I think the most critical thing is to always try and keep your mind as a sponge. You know, I think it's something which we're always grown up to kind of do, so from schooling all the way through to further education. But this level of learning never, ever stops. And there's no harm in saying, sorry, could you please explain more? Could you elaborate on this specific phraseology, or, you know, give me more of a background to understand the topic as in depth as possible? And once you have that as a foundation, then you can see how best to connect the dots.
And what's the decision factor based on who you work with and who you don't work with?
I think it's ensuring that, you know, both sides could be correctly aligned, that you may well have the correct solution. There's no point putting two people in a room together when you're not completely confident on one side's capabilities, for argument's sake. So again, the more you see that there are credible people, whether it be legal, accounting, correct advice for company formation, restructuring, refinancing, once you've got people that you've worked with and you know that they deliver again and again and again, that makes life a lot easier because you can say with some degree of credibility that they can best handle the matter.
That's the question I'm always trying to figure out. How do you know that this person truly says what he can do when it comes to the execution? How do you know he's credible?
Well, there is always some degree of uncertainty. You know, you don't necessarily get into the full depths of a specific situation until it goes through, you know, multiple rounds of conversations. But eventually, you know, clarity always comes. So this is the most important thing. You need to always stay with an open mind, stay positive, to feel that by bringing right people together, that there can be some positive results. You can never guarantee, but it's one of those things that you have to follow the process. And you cannot always necessarily result in transactions happening, but each situation is completely different.
And why Dubai out of all places?
So 10 years ago when, you know, I was traveling a lot through Dubai then to go to East Africa, I was staying in Business Bay, very much active in terms of finding the right suppliers to work with, supply chain aspects. All of those types of factors made me realize how fast things operate in Dubai. The taxation regime, everything just kind of seemed to make a lot of sense. And when you look back to consider, okay, I'm staying in the UK, however, Dubai is so fast-paced, so open-minded, it really became such a straightforward decision that I want to live in Dubai. I want to spend as many good years as possible. You know, a lot of people now, they're not looking at a 4 to 5 year window. They're looking at long-term retirement. They want to spend, you know, as many years as possible and to enjoy, but also contribute.
What do you think, in terms of your perspective over the years that you've been in a capital club, what's that one thing people get wrong about success?
There's many different angles to success, whether it be personal, whether it be business, whether it be lifestyle. Everybody's got different requirements. You may have, you know, some of the household names, you know, very big kind of owners of conglomerates that you might see on presentations and on billboards, etc. Whilst they may appear to be very happy, maybe their desire to accelerate the growth of their business may be giving them sleepless nights. You never really know.
Are they happy?
Well, I guess it's down to each individual. You know, happiness is relative. Everybody's chasing different things. So if I want to be focused on just enjoying a very good quality of life, then other things may have to be compromised to some degree. If you're focused on how strong do I want my business to be, then again, that needs to take more priority than certain other aspects. So it all comes down to the individual. Generally, I think most people in Dubai, they want a holistic 360 balance. They want to be very successful when it comes to business. They want to be having very strong earning power, but they also want to enjoy the fruits of their labor. They want to enjoy the lifestyle, the fine dining, the restaurants. There's so many different aspects in terms of how you can get the most out of Dubai and enjoy in each and every aspect.
And what are some of the misconceptions that you heard about Dubai from the people that recently came over abroad to here?
Well, I think a lot of people, and it's not just Dubai, I think it's the Middle East as a whole. A lot of people really underestimate how open the Middle East is. And Dubai, we can see how fast it's growing right now. A lot of people often question that, okay, it must have reached the peak in terms of the real estate market, for argument's sake. However, I still think we're progressing very well, but there's much, much further to go. If you're comparing Dubai to cities like New York, London, Paris, you know, price per square foot is still far more reasonable in most cases.
Even compared to Hong Kong.
And this is the thing, you know, I think there's still so much further it will go, especially when people are seeing that, you know, it's so open, so fast, so flexible. We're all very blessed to be living in this beautiful city. And I think this is something which, you know, perception outside of the Middle East, outside of the UAE, has changed a lot post-COVID, but will continue to change more and more and more so.
What do you think about the many networking experts that you might see around? Do you think everyone is trying to sell something eventually?
Well, it really depends. You know, networking is something that you can try to advise and recommend as to what are the right techniques or not. But again, it comes down to practice. You know, people need to be open-minded and to listen and to implement for it to be meaningful. You know, networking and sales can go hand in hand very, very well. I'm sure a lot of people would like to convert their networking into sales, whatever their business may be. So there will always be that overlap for sure.
Do you think there should be shame when it comes to trying to sell?
I think sales is very much misperceived. You know, it almost comes with this kind of dirty connotation. But in principle, sales is the backbone of every single business. When you're looking at revenue, you're looking at profitability. That's generally driven by sales. So it's super important. And I think perceptions are changing a little bit more so now. But if you don't have a good sales strategy, then how do you expect to succeed?
So I should never be ashamed to sell if I have a good value to add or offer.
You need to believe in what you're selling. You've got to believe that it adds value to people's lives. If you have that belief, that will resonate with whoever the prospect may be. And if they understand that actually you're coming from a position of good intention, that will be clear and evident. You're not selling then, you're adding value. It's a completely different proposition.
That's something that most people don't even know about when it comes to sales. I think when it comes to sales, you should look into how you're adding value to people's lives. And when you're truly confident that you can add something of value rather than you're just trying to sell something, it just shifts the perspective that you're trying to help those people rather than just trying to sell them something.
Exactly. And I think most people, when they consider sales, it's just like, oh, you must have a target. You must be having some purpose to manipulate somebody into buying something that they're not willing to do so. But in principle, if you're coming from the perspective that, okay, I understand what is your mindset, what you're looking to achieve, and A, B, C are potentially possible, then it's a very different perspective.
I think the number one thing that anyone can improve in themselves is being able to speak and then being able to sell.
Yeah.
Because even when I'm trying to introduce myself to you, I'm selling myself in a way. I'm selling the idea of who Hamid is.
Yes.
And how I'm going to add value into your life. And therefore, you might be more willing to work with me compared to someone else. If I don't speak up about myself, and if I don't sell anything about myself, then no one will know me. I might as well just stay in a room and close the doors and just stay in one place. And I'm going to stay like that forever.
Exactly.
In one place. But the person who leverages the talent that he has inside of him and tries to bring the attention about it will truly thrive in today's economy.
Or another thing, based on what you just said, you know, a lot of people go straight into the process of, I am from ABC company, this is what I do, this is what I've achieved. But active listening is so important. If you actively listen and you ask more questions, then that changes the goalpost completely. So one of the very first things I want to understand is, what is your business? How long have you been in Dubai? You know, what is your personal situation? What are your long-term objectives? And with that, you've already got a roadmap or a framework as to how best to kind of see what are they looking for and how it can be actually achieved.
That is very true, Dave. I mean, when it comes to even sales as in skill, you're listening more than you speak. You ask the right questions in order to get the right information. And based on that, you can leverage this information and be able to add value to them.
Exactly. I mean, like, say for argument, say Capital Club. Yes, we're effectively considered as an institution in the IFC. We're the only private business members club. But it's far more than just a building. Capital Club is about the people, the members, the staff, our chairman, Hussein Sultan Al-Junaidi, how he founded Enoch. All these different factors give different aspects as to what is Capital Club. So again, it's all about people. It's the most important thing. And then as a result, business happens and everybody gets on very, very well and enjoys the environment in which we're in.
I'm sure you heard about this quote. Your network is your net worth.
Yes.
What's your thought on that?
It's very much so the case, as long as you know how to leverage your network. You know, at the end of the day, you might know high profile people in all different industries and sectors, but unless you can somehow activate those connections, then there's no real benefit or point. So everybody has a strong network to a large degree. It's just a case of you understanding how best that network can best be leveraged.
Another quote that I have in mind that I've learned when I was in the United States.
Yeah.
You're the average of the five people you surround yourself with. Mm. What do you think of that?
They effectively become your sounding board. So, you know, if you have a very strong network of business-minded people, entrepreneurial people, that changes your mindset. And sometimes when you go through those challenging moments where you're not sure, are you going down the right path? Are you doing the right things? Are you making the right decisions? Then, you know, I think it's super important to bounce that off the people who you're closest to, because they can keep you in check, keep you on the right train tracks to make sure that you achieve what you wish to do, sir.
I think there's three things that can change a people. It's your mindset, it's your environment, and the people you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
I think these are the most important factors to change the person, especially you, to become something that you truly want to become. So if you're like an athlete, you might as well surround you with the best athletes that exist out there.
Of course.
And if you're a person with an entrepreneur spirit, then definitely surround yourself with someone with that similar goal.
Mm.
If you're a salesperson, I'm sure you have to be with the best salesperson to earn more.
Exactly. And I think mindset is so critical. Like when you come here as a tourist, everybody's overwhelmed with the skyscrapers, the high-rise buildings, the amount of construction that's going on. It's very different being a tourist to actually living in this city.
Hmm.
It's one of the most high-octane, high-pressure, huge opportunity cities in the world. And it's just a case of you really need to give it your all and recharge as best as possible.
What do you think about the people here who fake success to get attention? Do you think you should fake it till you make it?
Well, I think in most cases, people can read through that. You know, most people, and again, Dubai is in many respects a small community. I think that over time, people will come to understand as to whether that success is real or whether there are some artificial kind of fringes to how you present yourself. I think it's always important to present yourself as best as possible. But again, you know, presentation with substance.
We mentioned before about your network being your net worth. So connections alone can't really make someone rich. But how do you leverage those connections in a way? Is it through only selling them something, or there is another way?
Well, it really depends as to what the requirement is. I mean, you don't necessarily have to sell anything to anybody. So in my case, when I'm introducing two parties, one has a problem and one can resolve the issue at hand. So there's no element of sales involved in that process. It's purely based on credibility and trust that I can see through the issue to try and find the best way to overcome the obstacle. So that's more a case of trust, credibility, understanding the problem. And in many cases, you know, when you actually hear from both sides that it was a positive experience, that you know, helps you to sleep at night.
So how do you monetize such business like that? Do you enter like, hey, I'm going to help you out, but I'm going to get a commission out of this?
You know, I think...
How do you go about this sincere amount way of monetizing this while still adding that value?
Well, part of the purpose of the club is connecting people. It's so super important.
Hmm.
And being the sales director, you know, to actually bring people together on a specific purpose, specific requirement is, you know, fulfilling from a personal perspective that you can, you're adding a different layer of value to the members and to the community. And this is the thing which I find is so beautiful with Capital Club Dubai is that it becomes almost an extension of your family. And, you know, you may ask 5-6 people as to where you think there could be a solution to your issue. And everybody will try and help, try to be sincere. At the same time, I try and do a little bit more of a finite approach. Not every introduction is successful, You cannot expect, otherwise you're putting too much pressure on yourself and the people around you. But you can only try and bring the right minds together. And yeah, it's very rewarding when you see people reach their result.
Is everyone that is within the Capital Club an entrepreneur or investor? Or
no, we've got a wide, wide mix of members. Some, they've built their success, they've built their fortune, and this becomes almost like their refuge where they can relax, unwind. They know because of the privacy and discretion that not anybody can just walk into the building, that they can actually be away from the public eye and just enjoy their free time. We've got a lot of people who are on the way to building multi-billion dollar businesses as well. And entrepreneurs who are looking to those as mentors in a way. So we've got people all across the spectrum, which is great to see.
Interesting. So what do you do if you're an entrepreneur or investor and feels stuck or unmotivated?
You've really got to take a step back. It's not always easy to do so. You know, everybody wants to reach that final objective as quickly as possible. But in life, nothing is always that straightforward and that simple. Otherwise, everybody would be happy. Everybody would be super relaxed. So, you know, in those moments of challenge, it's best to kind of take a pause and then try and understand what could you do differently. Perhaps your approach is completely wrong. Perhaps you need to go from a completely different angle. So it's just taking that moment in time to try and reevaluate and then re-strategize.
So based on your experience that you had throughout numerous connections that you have done, was there a belief that changed your mind recently?
I think, you know, religion is such an important factor. To have faith, to have a belief, that's not just necessarily limited to just religion, but also belief in yourself. You know, it's very important. There will always be challenges. There will always be difficult days as well. But you've got to have enough confidence that, you know, those times of struggle will lead you to the final path of success and to be personally rewarded.
So you struggled with this initially?
Everybody has their struggles. You know, I think if anybody says that they're always, you know, very relaxed, very calm, and, you know, in a Zen type of moment, I'd like to be in that place. You know, I think everybody who's properly in tune with themselves understands that, you know, you will go through those challenges. It's just how you overcome them. But use those challenges as a strength and motivation to come through on the other side.
Is there any opinion you have about the businesses conducted today?
Sorry, if you just repeat the question.
Any bold opinion that you have about businesses conducted today?
I think you need to be far more agile in today's world. That we can see with the level of adoption of AI, machine learning. I think if you're not in tune with these changes in technology, then you know, that can really put businesses at risk today. You know, there are so many new skills that can be applied when it comes to the business perspective. If you harness those tools correctly, you're setting yourself up for the next decade.
Is there any way that you're using AI in your own field?
For sure. There are certain aspects where it comes in handy. You know, it can really, really be very, very helpful if used correctly. And I'm sure from a technology perspective, things will keep on adapting and changing. So it's staying in line with how technology is moving.
Maybe you'll use AI to select the new members eventually into Capital Club. So let's say I'm a fresh person coming all the way to Dubai. I want to join Capital Club. How do I go about that other than being invited as a guest? Is there a way, possibility to join?
So always the preferred route or mechanism is to be introduced by an existing member. That definitely helps. However, we have a lot of different events within the club, private events, and that gives people a little bit of an understanding as to how the club operates. So, you know, we're very much embracing the fact that Dubai is growing at such a fast pace. There are people from all different parts of the world who want to move to Dubai. And some of these people have been very successful already in their home countries. So it's important that we effectively mimic how Dubai is developing to be, you know, such a broad range of nationalities, such a broad range of backgrounds. So it's always a pleasure to see this being reflected in the club also.
Wonderful. Do you think how you dress in terms of the suit really plays a role in how you're looked at? If I'm wearing a $200 suit, if I'm wearing a $1,000 suit, or if I'm wearing a $10,000 suit?
I think part of it is how you present yourself. Like, again, it's always important to kind of dress as well as you can to give that right impression. But at the same time, it's also how you carry yourself. You know, I think the two are super important. If you're wearing a suit that you're not comfortable in, people will come to kind of get that feeling from you. So, I mean, I tend to generally wear a little bit more brighter colors, for argument's sake. But again,
you stand out. Yeah, basically. The red suit, you could definitely stand out from the most, I would say.
Exactly. And it's one of those types of things, you know, generally I feel comfortable wearing different colors to be, you know, more present and visible. But that comes with the role also.
Interesting. What about in terms of like wearing a specific watch? Does that play a role anyway?
Well, as much as I'd like to say no, people notice small details. So again, if I just put it down to an analogy of cars, would you rather drive a BMW or a Bentley?
Bentley, for sure. Depending on the person, some of the people might wear BMW.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Would you rather wear a Casio or a Jacob & Co, for argument's sake? So again, everybody, or I would say not everybody, most people aspire to having better, more expensive, more luxurious items. And whether we like it or not, in today's world, it helps people to form a persona about who you are, what are your credentials, can they work with you, are you capable to deliver? And especially in Dubai, where luxury is in abundance, you know, everybody likes to dress well, they like to have those expensive jewelry pieces. It kind of goes hand in hand.
Wonderful. What would you say is the number one lesson that you learned throughout all the years that you've been here so far?
So Dubai completely changed my perspective. I think everything that I'd learned from studies to then working in the UK, Australia, you know, across different parts of the world, Dubai is completely unique in itself. You know, you've got to adapt to the cultural environment. You've got to adapt to the way people conduct themselves. You've got to adapt to the lifestyle. It's really kind of takes you into a different kind of bracket where you change your mindset considerably. Not everybody is cut out for conducting business here, because again, it is high octane, high pressure. But at the same time, if you manage to crack the code correctly, then there's a significant amount of opportunity here as well.
For sure. I feel like Dubai can be for everyone, but not for everyone.
Of course. And the same with any city in the world. You know, thankfully, living in Dubai, we're blessed with the level of safety, the level of peace of mind, luxury. It's all kind of combined. To have all these different elements in any other city would make it very difficult for me to live anywhere else.
For sure. I mean, it could be family oriented. It could be someone who's just a bachelor.
Yeah.
It could be a person who's business oriented or even sports. I mean, you can think about how many people that literally have become more healthy being in this city than any other.
Of course. Everybody's impetus there as well.
Yes.
Everybody's chasing how to, you know, prolong their lifespan as much as possible, to enjoy their day-to-day living. And even when it comes to a business perspective, you know, everybody goes through challenging times. It can be stressful at times as well. But it can also be an addiction to be focused on how much I want to grow my business, how much I want to succeed. You know, if you really have the correct mindset, anything is possible in this town.
Very sure. So you would say the number one thing that someone should have here in order to thrive is the mindset?
Yeah, I think it all relates to mindset, because you've got to have resilience. You've got to have an open mind, but you've also got to be able to seize the opportunities as and when they come.
Fair enough. Well, Dave, how can people reach out to you if they're looking to perhaps work with you in finding the right connections?
So the easiest case would be to join the Capital Club. That I would say.
You're there all the time?
Weekdays, I'm always there, yes. So, you know, I'm often there in the members' lounge. And then in terms of introducing new people to the club, and then also in terms of organizing those connections for some of our members. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being in this podcast session. And I'm sure the audience have learned much more, for those who didn't know about the Capital Club, for sure. And learn more about you as what you do, Dave. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.